Good morning. You're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you today. Very excited to be back with you here today on Thursday's show, but on Friday. We have a lot to talk about today, lots to get into. A lot of modifications there. I was thinking it's going to be good morning, but I kept bumping into stuff here. Good morning today. What day is it? I didn't think there'd be that many. But we got a great show. Lots to get into. Lots to discuss. Big show. Big news. We're going to be talking about Gaza war, day 20. And there's some pretty major developments. U.S. airstrikes in Syria against Iranian positions, allegedly. We're also putting out 900 soldiers to the Middle East. And this is after Iran and its Shiite militias in Iraq have been attacking our American bases in Iraq and Syria. We're sending a message by putting some more assets over there. And this is all in a vain effort to deter Hezbollah and Iran from attacking Israel. So we'll talk about all that. That's the latest. And we'll be talking about our new Speaker of the House, whose name is Mike Johnson, who I didn't even know about until yesterday. And it's a total surprise because the situation last week, or I should say earlier this week, is that we weren't going to have a speaker for the next few months. Went through three candidates. None could even come close. They put forward this deal to have an interim speaker until January, McHenry, but then that got shot down. And then out of nowhere came this guy. He was never in the running. Even at the beginning of the year, it was McCarthy, Jordan, Scalise, the black guy. But this guy was, as far as I know, never being considered. Emmer. And now it's Mike Johnson. So we'll talk about him and what he's about. Honestly, I'm happy. He's an Israel shill, but you know what? They all are. Every single one of them is, at least in Congress. And we're going to get an Israel shill for the speaker. It's what it is. I think that basically you can't have a president that isn't an Israel shill. You can't have a speaker that isn't an Israel shill. It is what it is, and not that I'm a fan of that. I don't like that, and I wish it wasn't that, but whoever was going to be the guy had to get 217 votes, and it's slim pickings. There's not a lot of people that can do that, and this guy's pretty conservative. Little disappointed on a few things. He right away flipped on Ukraine, because apparently he was against that for a long time, became the speaker, now he's in favor of it. But we'll talk about that. We'll get into his whole record, and we'll talk about who this guy is and what he's about. But overall, I'm happy. Better than McCarthy. So that's going to be our show. It's going to be good. A lot of stuff to get into. Before we do, I want to remind you to smash the follow button here on Cozy.tv/Nick. And follow me on Rumble. I'm live every night on Rumble and Cozy. And all my replays are on Rumble. So a lot of people, I think, they watch live on Cozy and then they watch the replay on Rumble because Rumble has all the replays going back for like a year. So follow me on both. And follow me on Telegram. Link is down below. t.me/NickJFuentes. And, look, the only people that are watching the show are the loyal people. I know the show is super late. I said I was going to go live last night at 10:45 p.m. It is now 10 a.m. and it's now 12 hours later. You know, look, I was going to go live, but then, look, I had a long day yesterday. I've been traveling. All right. I traveled all day Tuesday. I did InfoWars all day Wednesday. I've been traveling. I've had a lot of phone calls to make. I've had a lot to do. Look, I just dropped the ball a little bit, and everybody needs to take it easy, okay? And certainly, don't get rude with me on Twitter. Everybody's been on my case on Twitter. Where's our show? You're 12 hours late. Shut the fuck up. You don't even pay me, so I don't care about your opinion. Shut the fuck up. You're lucky you get a show at all. I sacrificed my life, okay, to tell the truth about Jews. And I'm a little late, and I can't go on Twitter without being reminded about it. So here's your show, okay? And it didn't happen precisely at the exact minute that you wanted it, but it's here, and you get to watch a replay, and it's great content that'll go down in the annals of history. Regardless of when it happened live, 20 years from now, no one's gonna care if it happened at 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. in the annals of history, the annals of history, the show happened and you got your content, okay? You got your take on the latest events. So it's gonna be a good show. Apologize, it's a little late. The only people that are still with me here are the most loyal ones. So everyone that's still watching, here's to you. And for the people that didn't bother me on Twitter, here's to you. This show is for you. Honestly, when you antagonize me on Twitter, it makes me not want to do it. Like, I'm gonna do it, and then people are up my ass on Twitter, and I say, you know what? Let them wait another 4 hours. Let them wait another 4 hours. They're so entitled. They're people, they don't even super chat the show. The people that give the most money, which keeps the show afloat, it pays the bills, they don't care. I mean, maybe they care, but they don't bother me about it. So it's the people that never super chat, they offer no support, and then when the show doesn't arrive, they go, "Hey, where's the show?" It's like, sorry, who are you? Anyway, so it's gonna be a good show. The other thing, so look, I'm gonna do a show tonight, and it's gonna be at the right time. Okay, everybody relax. Show's good. I was traveling, I dropped everything to go do this debate with Alex Jones. So I'm a little out of sync, but the show's gonna be back tonight, regular time. Okay, I'm talking like 10, maybe 11 Central Time. I'll have to find time to sleep. Maybe I'll just drink a lot of coffee. I haven't decided yet, but I will be doing a show later tonight. Okay, so it's really more like you got two shows on Friday, as opposed to one on Thursday and one on Friday. Also, I wanted to talk about the InfoWars stuff. As you know, I haven't been here the past couple days because I had to drop everything and fly down to Texas to do a debate with Alex Jones because I was challenged. He challenged me to a debate on Saturday. And here's how this plays out. So I didn't even see it, but his producer texts me and she says, "Hey, would you like to come on the show tomorrow?" And I said, "Yeah, why not? I'll come on the show." What time? She tells me. I'm like, okay. Then I see the clip. And then somebody sends me in a group chat that Alex Jones called me out. And he went on this rant about me for 10 minutes and said that I've been ducking him and he's called me out and I'd never appear on his show. And he's going to give me 2 weeks to come and debate him, or else he's going to unload on me. And he's insinuating I'm a Fed or that I work for the ADL. So then I text the producer and I'm like, "Hey, I just saw the clip." I'm like, "I didn't know this is supposed to be a debate because that wasn't in the note." She texts me and she's like, "Hey, want to come on the show?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay, sure." And then I see the clip and he's challenging me. So I text her back. I'm like, "Hey, wait a second." I said, "I'll fly down. You want to debate me? Okay, bring it on. I'll fly down. I don't want to do it remotely. If it's a debate, let me fly out." I said, "I could get there Wednesday." She goes, "Okay." So I do this flight. I book a hotel. I fly in the night before so I could sleep and I'm well rested. And then they book me on the rest of the shows. So that's just how this whole thing got set up, just so you understand. And I get down there and I meet this guy, Chase, who they have filling in for Harrison. Harrison's filling in for Owen. and I do the morning show with him, and he's friendly. This was kind of funny, though. We meet before the show starts, and he's new, so I don't know him. And I say, hey, so, you know, what's the story here? And he says, oh, yeah, well, Owen Schroyer's going to jail, so Harrison's filling in for him. And he goes, I had a show, and I did work for InfoWars. Now they brought me on as a host. I said, oh, that's great. I said, well, I just caught your last segment. You're doing a great job. He goes, thanks. And he says, this is going to be T-ball for you. He says, this is going to be easy. I just want to get to know you. It's not going to be intense or anything. And literally within 30 seconds, his first question is like, so tell me, how does your feelings towards the Jews differ from Adolf Hitler? In the back of my head, I'm like, what? Didn't you just say? Now me, hey, everything's T-ball for me, okay? Because when you are, I don't know anything about baseball, but when you're the best baseball player in the world, I don't know who that is, but when you're the best baseball player ever, everything's T-ball, okay? You can ask me it. So it didn't even bother me. It didn't even faze me that I wake up at 9:30 and I drive over and the first question they say is, how are your feelings towards Jews different than Adolf Hitler? And it's a tricky question because I don't know. I actually don't really know. I'm not sure. But that's okay. Look, because it's all T-ball, because I'm the fucking best, I'm Babe Ruth. I'm the best baseball player there is. I don't know any other baseball players, but it's all T-ball. Major leagues is T-ball for me. Anyway, so I crush the question. I crush it. I crush the interview. I don't think he was trying to set me up, but it is kind of it's a little bit of a loaded question, I think. So anyway, so I do the first show. All right, we're just getting warmed up. Bring it on. I go do the debate with Alex Jones, and not for nothing, but the reason this whole challenge happened is because last week I said that he's a little bit foolish for believing that Hamas accidentally blew up their own hospital. Because that was the big story last week, is that this hospital in Palestine blew up, and everybody initially blamed Israel because Israel bombs hospitals all the time. It's what they do. But then there were some people coming out and saying, no, actually, Hamas tried to attack Israel, but the rocket fell out of the sky and landed at the hospital. And I said, well, you're a little gullible, I think, if you believe Israel's story on this, because bombing hospitals and schools is, that's how they play. That's how they always play. So Alex Jones challenged me on that basis. He said, well, listen here, son, it turns out that it wasn't a JDAM and 500 people didn't die and it was the Palestinians. That never came up. So I go on the Alex Jones show. That was the debate. That was the challenge. And that never came up one time. He tells me, I show up and he says, why don't you just talk for 30 minutes? And I jump in. And he's getting up and he's messing with the cameras and he gets up and he gets coffee. And I think I was there for 2 hours during the show. And I think 40 minutes of that was commercials. And I don't know how many of the minutes he was even sitting at the desk. And the times that he was sitting at the desk, he was asking me about yay and about my personal life and about Russia and about all this other stuff. So it was just a little confusing. You know, I showed up there for a debate about Israel and Palestine, and it just wasn't even what it was at all. I showed up there, he wasn't even there. He just got up and left. And then when he came back and sat down for like a half hour, we talked about something else. So it was a little confusing to me. And people were hyping it up like it was a debate and everything. And people were saying I won. But I'm like, how did I even win? It wasn't even a debate. It wasn't even, we didn't even talk about Israel. We really didn't even talk about the war in Gaza. But it was fun. I mean, I love him as a guy. He's an amazing entertainer, and, you know, he's got this amazing energy. So I always like to see him, and, you know, he gave me a big hug, and so we're cool and everything. And I like doing the show with him. Their studio's totally impressive, and it's a fun time. But I was a little bit confused. I'm like, so are, I mean, what are we doing here? Like, I thought, you know, on Saturday, he's like, you better come on my show in 2 weeks or I'm just going to give you the business. And he's just ragging on me for like the last 5 days on his show. And then I show up and he like just gets up and walks away. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what is this? I don't even get up during my, I don't have a multi-million-dollar production. I never get up. I literally never leave my seat. I sit here for 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes, no commercials, no breaks, no nothing, no visual overlay, no guests, no producers, and I never leave this seat. I don't think I've left the seat maybe a few times. I think I killed the spider once. I got water another time, but I'm like, what do you need to get up for? We're here for the debate, man. Can't you go during the break? There's like 100 breaks. There's like 100 breaks during this show, and they're all 10 minutes. We're here. We're doing content. We interrupt the advertisements for a little bit of news. And are you going to get up and get coffee during that part? I'm sitting there like, what are we doing? I couldn't even, and I don't know if you could tell, but I'm trying to like keep talking, but I'm like visually distracted. Because he's getting up and moving around the place. I'm like, can you sit down? So, I don't know what that was all about. But, whatever. I mean, I got to say my part, some of it. But, that's a pretty funny bit, right? I mean, the whole show is breaks. The whole show is ads. And then he gets up during the, on the offhand chance that there's any actual content, he gets up and gets coffee. I'm like, there was just a 10-minute ad break. You couldn't have gotten, and he's not even there during the ad break. It's like, whose show is this? Like, they should just get like AI to run the show or just make it a radio show or something. Because I'm like, dude. Anyway, so I did that, and then I did the Harrison Smith show, and Harrison's great. You know, he's totally red-pilled. He gets it, but and it's great to see him. So anyway, so that was my day. I don't know. I mean, it was good content. I don't know that it really lived up to the hype. I was a little disappointed. I wanted it to be hype. I wanted it to be intense and substance and everything, but it was just a little confusing. We got into it on a few exchanges, I guess, but yeah, it was a little bizarre. So, I don't even really know what else there is to say about the substance, because there just wasn't a ton of that. I mean, I feel like there was, it wasn't very direct. It felt like I said some things, and then he said some things, and then I said things, and he wasn't even in the room. So, like, the whole point of a debate, what I like about a debate is that it's confrontational. And one side, like, loses. You know, one side wins and one side loses because you face the other person and you can demand an answer. Like, you get to say something and then the other side has to respond directly to what you said. And it's either persuasive or it isn't. And whoever's more persuasive, whoever comes up with the best arguments, that's the winner. You know, and like, and we actually achieve a bit of a resolution. And that just didn't happen. It wasn't direct. It wasn't even... It quite literally wasn't a confrontation because he kept walking away. So, I mean, it was a fun show. Like I said, I don't have a problem with the guy. It was fun. I just felt like we didn't really get into it. So the point I tried to make on the show is very simple. The America First position is to support the Palestinians on this one. I've been saying it on Twitter, and look, I don't care that the left supports Palestine because it's the right position. And, you know, I keep hearing from these conservatives, they insist that they're not shills for Israel. That's all I hear on Twitter. Well, I'm not a shill for Israel, but, and all they want to do is attack the Palestinians. And I'm over here saying the Jews control our government. They control our media, obviously. That's why MSNBC fired their presenters who weren't pro-Israel. That's why on Wall Street, one of their big guys over there said, we won't hire anyone that's pro-Palestine. Doctors are being fired for being pro-Palestine. They're pulling the endowment from some of these universities, or major donors are pulling their money. The United Nations is behind them. Our Secretary of State goes over there and says he's a Jew. Like, so if you're America First, this is it. Like, I've said it repeatedly. You cannot be in favor of putting our country first if you don't confront the number one foreign influence lobby. That's Israel. So if you want to put America first, your big problem is that governments from other countries are raping this country. They're taking our money. They're forcing us to die in their wars. And they control all of our assets. And the number one country that's doing that is Israel. It doesn't mean they're the only country doing it, but they're the number one country doing that. And you have these people that say, well, look, I'm not on Israel's side or Palestine's side. I just don't like these pro-Palestine. Being pro-Palestine is a left-wing thing. It's like, no, actually, it's an America First thing. Because Palestinians, they wouldn't have to come here as refugees if Israel wasn't destroying their home. Same thing with Syria. Same thing with Syria. If you're one of these people saying, hands off Syria, that's the America First position, because where do all the Syrian immigrants come? America, Europe. Same thing in Yemen and Libya and Iraq. That doesn't mean we love Saddam Hussein. It doesn't mean we love Assad, although we do. It doesn't mean we love Palestinians. But it means that Israel is destabilizing the region. That's against our interest. It's alienating us diplomatically from all those countries there. It's creating a refugee crisis that we're going to have to deal with. And on top of that, it involves us in conflict. Every time that Israel stirs up trouble over there, we end up involved. Whether it's with Saddam Hussein, or it's in Syria, or Libya, or Yemen, or it's with Iran, directly or indirectly, we always wind up involved. And so you have to necessarily see Israel as the primary and urgent obstacle to having America come first. So all I've been seeing from conservatives lately, and I'm not going to beat this to death. I know I've been talking about it a lot, but this is what I came on InfoWars to say, is BLM is not Hamas. BLM is BLM, and Hamas is Hamas. Hamas doesn't hate Israel because they think Israel is white. Hamas knows that Israel is Israel, and they hate Israel. Those are the two things I've been seeing. These retard conservatives say BLM is Hamas. No, they're not. They're not the same at all. Hamas isn't here. They're over there. And BLM is made up of black people that want to burn down the city because of slavery. Hamas wants to destroy Israel over there because Israel took their land 70 years ago. So that's not true. And then they go and they say, well, Hamas hates Israel because they think Israel is white. So they're anti-white. No, they don't. They hate Israel because Israel took their land. Like, I think they know what Israel is. They hate Israel because Israel killed their whole family and took their land and made them refugees and then put them in an open-air prison for 2 decades. That's why they hate Israel. But these idiots like Matt Walsh and their shills, they go out and say, oh, no, Hamas is anti-white. They're just stupid, and they think that Israel is white, even though we know that Jews aren't white, but they think that. And all of this in an attempt to get white people to give a shit about Israel and to not like Israel's enemies. Because white people don't care about Hamas, and they don't care about Palestinians. But if the conservatives can trick them into thinking that Hamas is actually BLM and Hamas hates white people, just like your other adversaries, they think white people are going to be foolish enough not to take their side. But regardless of what the Palestinians think, regardless of what left-wing people think and their reasons for supporting Palestine, one's got nothing to do with the other. They say, well, they're using the same decolonization rhetoric. Who gives a shit? Who cares? Are we going to support the overthrow of Saddam Hussein because Saddam Hussein is a socialist like Obama? Like, fuck off with that. We don't need to overthrow him, right? But it's always the same thing. We need to take out Saddam because Saddam is a Democrat. Who cares? We need to stay because we need a stable region. And it goes on and on and on like this. So that's what I was there to say. And I feel like Alex is just not honest about that. I don't know that he's lying, but he puts all the focus on the Palestinian protesters and says, you know, you guys got to get out of here. And it's like, you know what? Maybe they can get out of here once the Israel thing is resolved, because right now, if it wasn't for the Palestinians, there would be no pressure against war in the United States. Right? I see all these Jews on Twitter like End Wokeness. That's a Jew who runs that account. And Libs of TikTok, that's a Jew who runs that account. And Walsh, who's owned by a Jew, they're all out there and they say, oh, these Palestinian protesters, that just goes to show how bad white genocide is, that these Muslims are waving their flags in our streets. And I agree with that. I've always agreed with that. But they're speaking up now. Why? They only have a problem with this now. Why? It's because if the Palestinians weren't in the streets of New York right now, and if they weren't at Capitol Hill, and if they weren't protesting at Harvard, there would be no pressure on our government not to go to war for Israel right now. Nobody'd be protesting. It's just them. And isn't that interesting then? All these Jews, they want to make that the reality. What a coincidence. They all decided to be against immigration, and if they deported all the people they want to right now, suddenly the pressure against going to war for Israel would evaporate. I'm sure that's a coincidence. But the Zionists are very clever, and they frame it in a way that appeals to the stupid goyim like us, where they go out and they say, well, we want to get rid of Hamas because, like, this is white genocide. No, I think right now you want to get rid of them because they're preventing the United States from going to war for Israel. And not to overstate the effect of the protest, but you understand. Nobody else would be speaking out if it wasn't for them. Because white people are scared to death, or they're owned by the Jews. The BDS, pro-Palestine movement, that's the only form of institutional power in the country that is opposing the Israel lobby. That's why they care so much about the campuses. When Turning Point USA goes out there and they put all this Israel propaganda in their materials, people think that's weird. People think that's obligatory. Oh, they have to do that because they have Jewish donors. No, that's why Turning Point exists. Don't you understand? That's why they exist. You may think that's an inconvenient, perfunctory part of having a conservative group. Oh, well, Jews have all the money. Jews give all their money to political groups. If we want to have a conservative group on the campus, we have to appease them with an Israel sticker. Wrong. It's the other way around. The conservative stuff is the cheese, and the Israel stuff is the pill. The conservative stuff exists. That's the shell. That's the Trojan horse. And so people think they're signing up for a pro-America group like Turning Point that happens to have Israel propaganda. No, they're signing up for a pro-Israel group that happens to have some conservative stuff as a trick. It's a mirage. You want to know why? Because the Zionists realize that there has been a pro-Palestine influence on the college campus for like 30 years. And this is a problem because universities churn out the elites. And so if all the students at Harvard hate Israel, then all the elites are going to hate Israel in a generation. And if Columbia and Yale and all the major universities, if they're all being inculcated with this left-wing ideology and they hate Israel, these universities are not just going to graduate a bunch of woke leftists. They're going to graduate woke leftists that hate Israel. So that's why for 30 years, these Zionists have been acutely aware of this, and that's why they've made a play for the campus. And they've dressed it in patriotard, pro-America stuff, but that's all just to get white people through the door. And then once white people through the door, then they can unload the dog shit, which is all the pro-Zionist stuff. It's the same playbook. That's what Prager University's about, Daily Wire. And by the way, that's how I became red-pilled, because I noticed that on the campus. When I was a young conservative in high school and then in college, I was a big PragerU guy. I was a big Ben Shapiro guy. But then I started to just literally notice, because I'm smart, I said, hey, wait a second. Why is it that every second or third video that PragerU produces, why is it always about Palestine and Israel? That's weird. Because I like so much of their content. It's about cutting taxes and small government and why America is the greatest country ever and why the Ten Commandments are great and feminism sucks. But then there's this slow drip of videos that are just really over the top about how Israel has a right to exist and Palestine isn't real. And I said, why is that? Same thing with Daily Wire. I said, that's weird. Why do they care so much about Israel? As opposed to any, I mean, because it just doesn't pass the smell test. If you never question anything, you just accept it. But if you're from the outside looking in, you're just a stupid goy from Chicago, and your parents didn't go to college, and, you know, you're not connected to, like, Cood Party or the feds or whatever. You're like, why is it that this conservative outlet is so fixated on one country, as opposed to any other country or any other conflict? And I thought it was super weird, and I started to question it, and then I got kicked out. And I did my research, and I figured it out. And, you know, over time, I realized that that is the whole point of those groups. Daily Wire, PragerU, you may think the Israel stuff is like something that, whatever, it's no big deal. I just ignore that part. I don't agree with that part. I just ignore it when it comes up. No, that's why it exists. It's there. It is there for those videos and for those articles. Because if they made the Israel stuff the whole thing, no one would care. They'd say, hey, why are these Jews trying to manipulate me? But if you get turned on to an outlet and it's all this conservative propaganda, it just happens to come with some Israel stuff. People go, oh, okay. And anyway, you know, Bronze Age Pervert, that's what he was writing about 20 years ago. He's got an article for Columbia in the Columbia Spectator from 2001, where he's writing about how nowhere is leftism a bigger problem on the universities in America than in the Middle East Studies Department, where they're teaching a new generation about a fiction like Palestinian Identity, obsessed with the small state of Israel. This is Costin Alamariu, a Jew, 20 years ago. He's now Bronze Age Pervert. But 20 years ago, he was on a Ivy League campus saying, oy vey, the problem with leftism is that it's making everyone obsessed with Israel. Why is everyone obsessed with Israel? Now, 20 years later, he's like writing books about fascism and the right wing and whatever. And all his stupid goy followers read his stuff and they're like, yeah, I mean, I don't love that he's half Jewish and loves Israel, but I just ignore that stuff. And I like the, it's like he's Turning Point USA. It's the same thing. Same thing with Turning Point. People sign up for Turning Point. They say, I like limited government. I like Donald Trump. I want to sign up for Turning Point. Then they ship them a box of stickers that say, I stand with Israel. And the kids go, what? What is this? Oh, whatever. I'll just hand out the other ones. No, but it's there for that purpose. So I've been seeing this a lot. They say, well, Hamas is on our campus and Hamas is on the American campus and they're BLM and they're left-wing radicals and they're anti-white, just like the other. And it's like, this is just another vain attempt by the Jews to get white people to care about their problems. I don't care. Israel created that problem. They made their own bed. They invaded that place. They kicked all those people off their land. They killed all their families and enslaved them. And now they want, and by the way, then they took over America to convince Americans to care. They sent us to take over Iraq and they sent us to take out Saddam and Gaddafi and Hosni Mubarak and Assad. And then they take over our institutions to keep all that money and all that support flowing. Meanwhile, our country's being raped by immigrants and free trade and the rest of it. And now they want us to care. Now they come up alongside us and they say, hey, pal, you know, maybe you were right. We shouldn't have supported all these immigrants coming in because now they support Hamas. So we got to crush them, right? And it's like, no. No, we don't. Hamas is on the campus. Finally. Awesome. Maybe now the campus won't be so gay. Maybe gay people won't be having their parades on campus anymore because it's run by the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, I look at that like, man, maybe there won't be so many of these like slut walks and gay pride parades and tranny stuff because, you know, if the Muslim Brotherhood is in charge at Harvard, maybe things are going to change a little bit. I, for one, welcome our new Muslim Brotherhood overlords, you know, because that's what Hamas is. Hamas is Islamist Muslim Brotherhood. So if they say Hamas is taking over our universities, it's like, well, I hope we can expect to see no more slut walks. Maybe they'll be putting them in burqas and hijabs. I think that's a positive change. I would prefer if it was a Catholic university, but, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So I think I'll go with Hamas over all these tricky Zionist Jews like Kostin, who try to trick me by pretending to be white or pretending to be a patriot into supporting Israel and its war. You need to care about Hamas. You need to care about Hezbollah. I don't. I care about Chicago. I care about America. So anyway, so that's that. But we didn't really get a chance to debate all that out because he was kind of walking away from me a little bit, but whatever. Anyway, so that's that. I want to move on. I want to get into the news here. We're almost out of time, but we're going to cover the Gaza war at least. So I'll start with that. So it's day 20, and this is becoming the issue here, is that Israel, it seems, does not want to invade. And that is what we have been anticipating and expecting and waiting for 20 days. October 7th is when Hamas invaded Israel, and the circumstances surrounding that invasion remain a mystery. We still don't even know how that was possible, how Mossad failed, or the Israeli military or other intelligence, how they failed to anticipate this, given that Israel is a surveillance superpower. And the extent of the breach was outrageous. I think Hamas breached 35 checkpoints across the border, and they were allowed to conduct this raid for like 8 hours. So this is a very severe failure. I feel like people don't even understand. If the narrative is that Israel just didn't catch it, I don't think people even understand the extent of the alleged incompetence that would create the situation. So we don't even really know what happened on October 7th. But ever since that night, we have been waiting for Israel to invade. And they gathered their 360,000 reserve troops. They have mobilized to the northern border to deter Hezbollah from coming in. They formed a unity government to create popular support and unity for a long war. They have gotten the United States diplomatic and military support. We now have aircraft carriers off the coast, and we're sending Marines and soldiers. And yet there is still no invasion. They haven't gone in yet. And their trepidation comes from the fact that, one, Israel is probably not going to be able to pull this off. A war in Gaza that would eliminate Hamas, like a very total and complete war, would be extremely difficult for Israel. And we've talked about that. It's just a difficult environment. It's densely populated. It's all urban. They've got tunnels underground. They've had 9 years since the last war to stock up on equipment, and it seems their equipment has gotten more advanced. They were using loitering munitions in their initial assault. So it's going to be a very difficult war. And some are saying that maybe the Israeli ground forces are not even all that good. I'm not a military expert, but that's what the military experts say, is that these are reserve troops. These are not people that have been fighting for a long time. On the opposite side, the Gazans, they have been literally waiting their entire lives to die fighting to destroy Israel. And they're going up against reserve forces that did their mandatory 3 years in the military and are now making TikToks and have lives, and they're going to raves and music concerts. So who's going to win that one? I don't know. It's going to be tough. You got these guys that their whole family was killed by Israel. They have literally been waiting their whole life for the highest honor in their society, which is to die fighting to destroy Israel. They're dug in 100 feet underground with like a million bombs. Are they going to win, or is it going to be these TikTokers that basically they were in the military training as like college? I don't know. It's hard to say. But so one, they're worried about how successful they'll be and the logistical difficulty of a war like that. The other concern is that they're not positive that if Israel invades Gaza, that Iran won't attack them. And if Gaza is difficult, Hezbollah is going to be way more challenging because there's way more of them. They're way better armed. Hezbollah has 100,000 soldiers, 150,000 missiles. They're backed by Iran. And they're also going to get support on other fronts. They're going to get support from the Popular Mobilization Front in Iraq. They're going to get support from the Houthis in Yemen. And if push comes to shove, they may get attacked outright by Iran. And Iran has become something of a military power in its own right. They produce drones and missiles, and they've got a pretty sophisticated arsenal as well. So Israel is worried for those two reasons. That's why they continue to delay the operation. And so I'm going to go over a couple of stories here. One is that this invasion is basically delayed indefinitely. They were going to invade today, but Netanyahu declined. Because there is not complete unanimous support within the government for an invasion. At least that's what is being reported. And then the other story is about how they're basically begging Hezbollah not to attack them, which is kind of awesome. So this is the story. It says, quote, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu is at odds with his own military after refusing to sign off on plans for a ground operation in Gaza. He reportedly wants his entire war cabinet to back an invasion. The Israeli leadership has vowed to obliterate the Palestinian militant group Hamas in retaliation for its attack on the 7th. But there is no agreement among top officials on how, when, and even whether to go all in. The country mobilized 360,000 reserve troops after the Hamas attack and has been bombarding Gaza for weeks. There were also some small-scale incursions into the blockaded Palestinian territory. The military could move in as soon as Friday, according to the New York Times, but the IDF leadership has already finalized an invasion plan. Netanyahu declined to give it the go-ahead. Military officials were also banned from bringing recording equipment into cabinet meetings. The move was interpreted by sources as an attempt to limit the amount of evidence that could be presented to a national inquiry after the war. So they can go in, but they don't want to yet, which is by the way, that's a major sign of weakness. They're backing down, effectively. So I think that they ultimately will go in. But the longer it takes them, this is not a good sign. This is not a good signal to the world, because they came out with such bravado, and they've all backed down. The Zionists in America have backed down. The Zionists over there have backed down, and they are a little different. The neocons in America are different than the Israelis, but they both majorly backed down. So they don't want to do the war. Now, this is a statement from their defense minister. They're basically both the United States and Israel begging Hezbollah not to intervene, which I find interesting. So this is another story. It says, quote, Israel's defense minister, Yoav Gallant, reaffirmed on Thursday that Israel had no interest in expanding the war into Lebanon, adding that Hezbollah was already suffering many losses amid near daily clashes. Hezbollah has publicly announced that 47 of its fighters have died since the violence began. So this comes after Antony Blinken went to the United Nations and did the exact same thing. Last week, our Secretary of State went to the UN and said, and just like with Israel, it's this I don't know what the appropriate word for it is, but they're pretending like they're talking tough here, but they're really not. They're actually begging Iran not to attack. And Blinken last week, he came out and said, we will respond to all aggression against Americans, but then said, well, but we really don't want a war with Iran. We'll respond to anything. If you attack our troops, we will come after you, but we really don't want to fight. We really don't want a war with Iran. Just if we don't get attacked, hey, we don't want a war. We just want to support Israel. So that was Blinken last week. And now Israel's saying the same thing. Their defense minister goes out and says, we will not attack Hezbollah. We do not want a war in Lebanon. Now, that's because they don't want to fight with us. They don't want to mess because they're already suffering heavy casualties. But we definitely don't want to go to war with them. We definitely don't want to fight them in Lebanon. And to me, that reflects the reality that they are not equipped for an all-out war. And an all-out war in Gaza probably would be an all-out war with all of Iran's proxies. So that's the panic. And I've said it for weeks. That's why our aircraft carriers are there. That's why Biden visited. That's why the Secretary of State visited. That's why we're sending Marines and soldiers there. America does not want a war with Iran, and it would lose a war with Iran. And we don't even have enough assets to really conduct a war. If we went to war with effectively, we'd be going to war with the whole Middle East. Because we'd be fighting not just Iran, but we'd be fighting Syria, and we'd be fighting Hezbollah, which is as big as a regular military from any government. So we'd be fighting in Lebanon, we'd be fighting Iran in Iraq, and we'd be fighting them in Yemen. And they would open up a front in Saudi Arabia. I would imagine the Shiites would be revolting in Saudi Arabia in the east. They'd be revolting in Bahrain. So when I say that we can't handle a war against Iran, we'd be fighting the whole Middle East. We'd be fighting Hezbollah in Lebanon. We'd be fighting Assad in Syria. We'd be fighting the Popular Mobilization Force in Iraq. Saudi Arabia would be fighting to suppress the Shiites in their own country. They'd be fighting the Houthis in Yemen. And we'd be fighting Iran in Iran. So none of this is tenable. None of this is, this would rapidly turn into a conflict that would engulf the entire region, and it would bring in the entire world. It would bring in Russia and China, probably. So when they put two aircraft carriers there, they have like 100 aircraft. They have like 100 aircraft. They have two carrier strike groups. They're going to put 2,000 Marines there, and that's in addition to, I think it's 12,000 in Iraq and 2,000 in Syria. So we got a grand total of maybe what? 20, 25,000 soldiers in the region, 100 planes, a dozen ships. That's not enough to fight Iran. That's not enough to fight the whole Middle East. In Iraq, it was 250,000. In the troop surge in Afghanistan, it was 200,000. When we're sending 900 guys there, it's not making a difference. It's all a signal. We put the aircraft carriers, the rest of it, it's to send a signal to Iran. But remember, this is a bluff. We're really not, we do not have a hand here, okay? We do not have a winning hand. We have no cards. But we're bluffing. And so we're sending all these assets there and we're making these diplomatic gestures as a threat, a completely empty threat, a complete bluff. That says, hey, if Hezbollah comes in, well, you're really going to regret that because we're here. We can't back it up, but we just desperately know that we could not engage. So we're threatening in the hopes that that's going to scare him off. So when I hear the Israeli defense minister say, because this is an important thing, when he goes out and makes a statement and says, we don't want a war with Iran, and that's the same thing the Secretary of State said, that's a concern. And presumably that's why Biden went out there. That's another aspect of it, is Biden went out there to plead with Netanyahu to either delay or cancel altogether the invasion plans because Biden knows that we're going to be dragged into a war we can't fight and that we can't win. And now, presumably, the same thing's happening in the war cabinet. They know that it's going to be bad enough in Gaza, and they know that if it widens and includes Iran or its proxies, they can't win at all. And that brings me to the last part of this, which is the American intervention this weekend. Rather, it's not the weekend. The other day, yesterday. Yesterday, the United States launched airstrikes against Iranian positions in Syria and is now deploying an additional 900 soldiers to the region. And this is a story from the New York Times. It says, quote, "The United States carried out airstrikes on facilities used by Iranian forces in eastern Syria early on Friday, trying to ward off more attacks on American forces in a region bracing for further escalation in the Israel-Hamas war. The Biden administration has sent more U.S. military resources to the Middle East in an effort to deter Iran and its proxies in Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq from engaging in a regional war after Hamas's October 7 surprise attack in southern Israel. The U.S. strikes were in retaliation for nearly daily attacks against U.S. forces over the past 10 days and were an escalation from targeting the militias in Iraq and Syria that Tehran helps arm, train, and equip. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the airstrikes had been narrowly tailored strikes in self-defense and do not constitute a shift in our approach to the Israel-Hamas conflict." And that's very careful wording, just like Israel's defense minister. He's saying, in other words, please don't attack us. We're just retaliating in the most limited way possible. Please don't attack us. Just like Israel, just like Blinken, Lloyd here is just begging Israel not to attack. The U.S. strikes were in retaliation, and Lloyd Austin said that the airstrikes had been tailored in self-defense. 19 U.S. troops based in Iraq and Syria suffered traumatic brain injuries after rocket and drone attacks from Iranian-backed militias last week. The U.S. has sent warships and fighter aircraft to the region in recent weeks. On Thursday, U.S. officials said some 900 U.S. troops were also being moved there. So, the United States has mercenaries and soldiers in Iraq and Syria. And in the past couple weeks, these Iranian militias like Islamic Resistance have been attacking those American bases in Iraq and Syria. Now, Iraq and Syria are considered, or I should say Iraq is considered fair game because we're at war there. And to the extent that we attack militias in Iraq and Syria, that's fair game. But in this airstrike, we attacked Iranian bases in Syria, which is an escalation. And this is what we've been talking about for weeks. This is how it happens, okay? We are all over the Middle East. We're in Iraq. We're in Syria. So is Iran. Iran is in Iraq. Iran is in Syria. And when Israel attacks Hamas, Hamas is now an ally of Iran. They didn't want to be. Hamas would prefer to be allied with the Sunni Muslims like Saudi Arabia, but Saudi Arabia has shunned them, so they have to come hat in hand to Iran. Iran's also allied with Hezbollah, and Israel has been attacking Syria and Hezbollah for years, bombing Syrian airports and bombing these Iranian militias in Syria. And so now that Israel is escalating their war against Hamas, it's inviting aggression from Iran. And so now there's border skirmishes in southern Lebanon, northern Israel. And over the past couple weeks, now Iranian militias are attacking America. Why? Because America's helping Israel. And the Iranians said, look, if Israel bombs Gaza, we will attack Israel. Our proxies, rather, will attack Israel. So Israel keeps bombing Gaza. We're now involved. Our aircraft carriers are there. And that's supposed to deter Iran. Well, now Iran's proxies are just attacking us. So now Iran's proxies are bombing Americans because we're backing Israel. So now, as of a couple days ago, the United States is bombing Iranians in Syria. So now America and Iran are directly engaged. Now, Lloyd Austin is saying, well, we're just retaliating in a very limited way. We don't want to escalate. We don't want war with Iran. But that's because he recognizes that Iran is going to perceive that as an escalation. And you understand that the escalation is gradual, that one side opens up a new front. And it's not very intense or very dramatic, but One side opens up a new front. Then one side opens up another front. And then one side attacks something that's a little closer to home. And then the other side attacks. And slowly but surely, it keeps... That's why you call it an escalation. It's like a ramp. You're ramping up. It's not a curve. It gradually ramps up with a very low slope or a small slope. But it's ramping up. And we are, just like with Russia and Ukraine, it was the same thing. You have to watch for these things and listen to the statements. You know, weeks ago, it was just Hamas versus Israel. That's all it was. And we knew it was going to be more, but that's how it started. Was Hamas attacked Israel. Iran wasn't involved. No one else was involved. Hamas attacked Israel. And then Israel bombed Hamas. But then there were some skirmishes on the northern border. So it widened. And then they went into the West Bank, and it widened further. Then you had Israel bombing Syria, because allegedly the Syrian airports were being used by Iran to fund supplies to Hezbollah. So it widened again. Then the Houthis were sending missiles into Israel. So it widened again. Then the Houthis sent missiles, and both America and Saudi Arabia shot them down. Okay, and then the Popular Mobilization Force attacked the United States. Now the United States is bombing Iran and Syria. And so this is how, over the course of 2 weeks, it went from just Israel and Hamas. Now everyone's involved. Now the Houthis in Yemen. Now Saudi Arabia shooting down missiles. Now the American aircraft carriers. Now the American bases in Iraq and Syria are under attack. Now it's the Islamic Resistance, backed by Iran in Iraq and Syria. Now it's Assad, because his airports are taken down. Now it's Hezbollah. Now it's the West Bank and the Palestinian Authority, because Israel's conducting raids there. Now it's Iran, because Iran's being attacked. Now, it's also Russia, because, and I pointed this out a couple days ago, when Israel took out the airports in Damascus and Aleppo in Syria, now the Syrians have opened up the Russian airport that's in Syria for Iran to fly into. So now Russia has put themselves in the war. If Israel is attacking all the airports that Iran is sending supplies through, well, guess what the latest airport is that Iran is doing that? It's a Russian airport. That makes Russia's airport a target for Israel. Does that mean Israel will bomb it? Maybe. Probably not, but maybe. And now China is sending its destroyers into the region. So on October 7th, it was Hamas and Israel. Now it's Hamas, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Hezbollah, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Yemen, Qatar, Bahrain, the USA, China, and Russia, and Turkey. They're all involved, and Egypt as well. They're all involved. That's what we've been talking about, is a regional war becoming a global war. A local to regional to global, and riding up the food chain of proxies. That's why proxy wars are dangerous, because when they escalate, you go from proxy to client, or patron rather. From client to patron, I should say. From Hamas to Iran, from Iran to China, from Iran to Russia, from Russia to China, from Israel to the United States. That's always how it goes. So there's a very big risk that this could escalate, and it's going to kick off when Israel invades Gaza. And I think they will. They're saying that they may not, but they're putting out mixed signals. They're saying, well, we're going to go in, but we're not going to tell you when. Well, there's no unity in the cabinet, so maybe we will, maybe we won't. We don't know when, we don't know how. But I think they're going to go in. And when they do, that's when it's really going to get risky, because then all eyes are on Iran and what their proxies do. And whatever they do, then all eyes are on Israel's response and the United States. And that's when things could really kick off. But that's what happened these past couple days, is that, and remember, the United States is, this is why I say this is like a suicidal policy and there's no off-ramp. It's because the United States, if things really get bad, we can't win. Like I said, the reality is this: all these players being involved, we can't beat all of them. We cannot beat Russia and China and Iran and Assad and Hezbollah. And we can't beat all of them. And we don't have the resources in the region to do that. It would be very difficult to get them there. Because even in the war in Afghanistan, we had support. We had support from Tajikistan, and we had support from Russia, and we had support from Saudi Arabia. Same thing with the war in Iraq. Saudi Arabia, they didn't love the idea of toppling Saddam, but they didn't like Saddam. And Iran didn't like Saddam. And so point being is there was some local and some global support for both of those wars. Even though Iraq was more unilateral, there was support. I don't know that that'll be the case this time. So we don't have assets in the region. It'd be tough to get them in the region this time around. But they're not there now. And even if they were there, it's dubious that we could even win because we'd be fighting the entire Middle East. The whole Middle East would hate us, so we would have no local support from any of these people or any of these governments, and they'd all the governments would be fighting us too. And they'd be getting support from Russia and China. So taken to the worst case scenario, when the United States says we're going to defend ourselves and we're going to bomb you in retaliation, the only language they know is how to escalate, and yet we can't back it up. We keep escalating and escalating with empty threats and with deterrence, but there's no force. There's no commensurate force that backs up these threats. When we say we're going to fight Hezbollah, we can't. We can't fight Iran. We can't fight any of them. We can't even beat Russia in Ukraine. And think about all that's been said about our arsenal is so much, it's so far ahead of anybody else. And I know we're not the ones necessarily doing the fighting, but still, we're giving them our top shelf, top of the line stuff and as much of it as they need, and they're getting killed. And now we're going to go to war with the entire Muslim world and Russia and China at the same time. We can't do it. So the only sensible thing here is for the United States to do a tactical retreat and get Israel in line. And we have the power to do that. Israel doesn't exist without the United States. So we need to exert a little bit of leverage and say, look, you're not going in Gaza. And like, you're done. You need a two-state solution. You brought this on yourself. You're going to negotiate a two-state solution now. And you can spin it however you want, but that's how it's going to go. Because the alternative is not going to be good for anybody. It is going to be either a slow or a quick killer for the United States. It's going to be poisonous and poison us slowly if Israel is fighting in Gaza over the course of 5 years or longer. And if there's no world war, it's just going to poison our relationship with every other country. And that's if we're lucky. If we're not lucky, we're in a world war. So the sensible thing to do here is to look for an off-ramp, use our leverage over both parties, not just the Arabs and not just deterrence against Iran, but to use leverage over Israel as well and get them to back down and find a permanent solution to integrate the Palestinians because they're going to get us all killed. So that's that. But I want to move on. I want to take a look at our super chats and see what you guys are saying about all this. Let me get set up here. This tie is choking me, so I'm going to loosen this. And we'll take a look here, see what you guys have to say. I'm starving, so I'm going to be a little pissed off, okay? But we have a new super chat system, so we're going to try it out. And we'll see how it goes. Let me pull this up here. Wow, a lot of super chats, even though I started super late. Go figure. Okay, let me just do this. Oh, shit. Not that. No, I need this. Damn it, why can't I select this? Hang on a second. Why can I not? Dude, I'm losing it over here. I love when we have a new system. Maybe do I do it like this? Like that. There we go. Okay. Okay. Boom. All right. Now let's try this. Is this going to work?
Middling Intellect sent $3.
Hang on. That is... Oh, hang on. It's going to work now. Okay, hang on. Sorry, we have a new Super Chat site. Let's try this.
Middling Intellect sent $3. Why do Indians love Israel so much?
Okay, it's a little bit cut off. That's on my end here. Hang on. I should have done this before the show, but... let's see. All right, let's try that one again.
Middling Intellect sent $3. Why do Indians love Israel so much?
Damn it! Why? Come on, man. It's still too cut off.
Pretty underscore fly underscore white underscore guy sent $3, 258. Alex Jones is a real one for letting you say all of that on his show.
Okay, that's fine. Let me try now.
Pretty underscore fly underscore white underscore guy sent $3, 258. Alex Jones is a real one for letting you say all of that on his show.
Now why can't I... Fucking damn it, dude. Boy. It's always, and I'm on an empty stomach, so I'm just fucking pissed off right now. Let me see. Let me try this one more time. This fucking stupid fucking thing. How about now?
Middling Intellect sent $3. Why do Indians love Israel so much?
I think that's fine. I don't know. Well, because they got the same thing going on we do. Hang on. All right, there we go.
Pretty underscore fly underscore white underscore guy sent $3, 258. Alex Jones is a real one for letting you say all of that on his show.
I don't know, though. I mean, like, I know that's being diplomatic, but if you're a truth teller, that's kind of like the bare minimum, isn't it? To, like, let someone use free speech.
Nick Love sent $109. Just got nice a bonus from work, so I figured I'd share some with my Nick. Loved the show on Alex Jones, man. You handled it like an absolute boss. You're so awesome, big guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the big super chat. Keep your bonus, though. But I appreciate it.
Crusader Michael sent $3. Assalamu alaikum.
Thanks.
Milk D. Gripper sent $10.
No message.
Crusader Michael sent $3. Reminder that Pope Francis has proclaimed today, Friday 27th of October, a day of fasting, prayer and penance.
Yeah, thank you for the reminder. I'm going to be eating my one meal shortly.
Christian underscore futurist sent $5. You killed it on InfoWars. Thanks for all you do.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Zirkin sent $3. Is there a difference between Judeo-Christianity and Messianic Judaism?
Judeo-Christianity is not a real... That's not a real thing. That's a fake.
Labcraft sent $5. You did great on Alex Jones, and you didn't even need Brain Force Plus.
I just had coffee. That's my Brain Force. Coffee plus. Coffee and bacon and eggs.
Crab Goblin sent $3. Right on time again. How do you do it?
I'm just really good, man.
Dutch Fag reporting in sent $10. King, shout out to Dutch Prime Minister Thierry. He was attacked in Belgium yesterday with an umbrella, a day after he was the only one to vote against a proposition for banning Jew hatred in the House of Representatives. Coincidence? Or is the Jewish mafia angry?
I don't know the details of that, but it could just be an angry Jew. But yeah, big shout out to him. Good for him.
Hungarian Groiper sent $7. The debate with AJ was awesome. He is truly an uncle to all the Zoomers. Keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you, man. Yeah, he is. He is like our uncle. We love him. We love our uncle.
Alan sent $10. Hi.
Hi.
Smile.
Hey.
Richard Percival sent $10. Thanks for the great morning show. Replay Gang is live gang today.
That's right. Yeah, you're welcome.
Sorry sent $15. Real Human Being sent $3. Alex Jones telling you to find a girlfriend and get married. Totally cringe boomer advice. Literally has no idea about the state of women today.
Okay, but that one's got nothing to do with the other. That's a totally lame excuse. Look, I don't have a wife because I'm special, okay? You don't have a wife because you are gay and cringe. And, you know, I'm telling all my followers to go and get married and everything, but I'm obviously a totally unique, exceptional, special individual. So it's the rules are different for me. I'm a once in a lifetime, once in a generation figure. I'll find my young busty bride, whatever the fuck I want. Okay, I'm rich, I'm good. You people, you gotta get that locked out quick. So, I just look. It's a very personal thing, and if someone's not like personally my friend, I don't really like to get into it with people. You know, it's like it's a personal question. It's about my personal life. And you know, people just attack me, so I don't, but it's, you know, I don't want to open myself up to that, but, you know, but I got my own personal hang-ups and stuff like that. People go, "Why'd you get a wife yet?" It's like, you know, you don't know me, you don't give a shit about me, you don't know me, and, you know, I'll get married, I just, not right now, you know, I got other stuff going on. And everybody that tells me to do that is not in the same situation as me, so.
Captain Pop-Tart sent $50. First time super chatting. I usually listen at work in the mornings, so this is perfect timing for me.
Oh, great.
Thank you for being a beacon of truth.
Hey, thanks, Smile. Man. Yeah, well, glad you get to enjoy the show live right now.
Hater Time sent $5. While they tell us it's okay to hate BLM and Muslims, now they tell the other side Palestinians are just like the white people who marched in Charlottesville and stormed the Capitol.
That's true.
Ed Teach sent $3. Good morning, friend. I hope all is well. I hope Christians are fasting today. God bless.
Me too.
07.
Yeah, thank you.
Chuggers sent $5. Good morning. Seeing the show live is great at any hour. Love the content as usual.
Hey, thank you, man.
NJF's most loyal Groiper sent $50. Good morning, Groiper less than 3. Sorry it's not much, but here's a thank you for the show.
Stop.
Who cares what time it is?
Hey, well, come on, now I feel bad. That's plenty. Thank you very much for the super chat. Bro says, here's 50. I know it's not much. That's plenty. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I hate when people say that, because it's like, I don't need you to give me as much money as you can, you know? It's a $3 minimum, you know? I mean, if you can afford more, hey, please. But I hate when people say, hey, this is all I have. It's like, don't give me all you have, you know? But I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $20. You know what? Here's my biggest super chat yet. Just because you gave us Europeans a night show, you are the Fuhrer and all these niggas complaining can fucking explode. I will kill, rape, and die for Nicholas J. Fuentes. Love you to the moon and back, Pookie.
Hey, thank you very much. Love you too. See, now I'm with that. That's the right message. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. We need more people like that. God bless, buddy.
Schmooting Groiper sent $5. I usually watch your replays in the morning to start my wagey workday, but got to watch live today. What a good morning, Groiper treat.
Groiper treat. Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Boss Lurker sent $10. Best Friday ever. Best show in the world.
Hey, let's go. Thank you.
Lukashenko Groiper sent $3. Less than 3.
Hey, thank you. Heart you too.
YE24 sent $5. In regards to Dave Smith, I used to listen to him a lot when I thought he represented honest libertarianism. Loved hearing you two debate all those years ago. That being said, YE24 sent $3, him and his co-host were calling you a gay Mexican during the Kanye stuff. Never actually took any of the arguments on, just said Kanye's crazy, but he should be able to say crazy things.
Oops.
YE24 sent $4, not really a fan anymore. Just goes to show whose team they are really on when it really matters.
I mean, at the end of the day, Jewish, that's the way it is.
Destiny Gang sent $3. Why did you tell Alex's daughter white people are evil?
Well, I didn't do that, but thanks anyway.
LaCroixper sent $100. Cracking up at this start time. GM.
Hey, thank you, LaCroixper. Thank you for the big super chat. I appreciate it. Love you, buddy. Hope you're doing well. I'm glad you find it funny. LaCroixper's just dying. He's laughing his groiper ass off. The 10 a.m., 9 a.m. start time. That's funny, man. Well, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Pragmatic Culture sent $5. Hey, good morning. Hope you got some sleep and weren't up the whole night.
Hey, good morning. I was up all night, actually, but I slept a lot yesterday. I was, like, catching up on sleep. I don't know. I slept a lot. Because you know how it is when you travel like that? When you do a lot of travel, it just takes you out, so...
Bob H. sent $10. It's a good thing Alex hasn't seen a clip of you watching the downfall Hitler Reddit like 10 times in a row on your Rumble stream. Probably would have led into another struggle session about his World War II veteran grandfather's lol.
Yeah, or how much I love China. He flipped when I said I love China. He's like, what about the concentration camps and the Uyghurs? And I'm like, yeah, I just don't believe that. It's just like, yeah, like I just think that's State Department propaganda. And he's like, Falun Gong, organ harvesting. I tore my ACL, man. Human-animal hybrids. It's like, yeah, like that's, I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of that. I don't care. I don't care. Even if we're all true, I'm going to let you in on a dirty little secret. I don't give a shit. Okay? Because we're the great Satan. So it can't be worse than what we're doing. We're cutting babies' dicks off, and you're talking about Falun Gong. It's like, bro, the world is an angry place. Oh, you think it'll cause a little more anger? The world is a mess. Oh, you think it'll cause a little more anger if Falun Gong does organ harvesting? if they round up 1 million East Turkestan Muslims and put them in re-education camps, oh, you think that'll cause a little more anger? The world's an angry place. The world is as angry as it gets. You think it'll cause a little more anger? So. That was funny. Because I forget that he's really anti-China. And he's talking about China. And I'm like, I actually love Xi Jinping. I'm like, I actually love China. I love China. And I don't believe any of the lies. Don't believe their lies about the Uyghurs, you know? Fuck the Uyghurs. If they get put in concentration camps, I don't care. But I don't even think they are. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about the Uyghurs. They're all terrorists. You know, so they have been a restless minority for hundreds of years. And that's what they got to do. We should be doing the same thing. We should be doing the same thing here. You know, the Uyghurs, they have been a restless minority. They've been rebellious for hundreds of years. And the Uyghurs are terrorists. They're terrorists. They kill hundreds. The United States called them a terrorist group. The East Turkestan resistance was officially designated as a terrorist group by the United States up until 2020. We took them off. Why? So that we could bitch about the Uyghurs. That's literally it. Up until 2020, the people that China was persecuting, we said they were terrorists. Then we took them off the list and said, they're persecuting innocent people. It's like, yeah, because we just took them off the terrorist watch list. So they have it coming. They had it coming the whole time. And it's not real. That's just the State Department saying that because they want a war with China. So, yeah, he doesn't like Hitler. He doesn't like China. He's like, the ADL is a new Hitler. I'm like, how dare you insult Hitler that way? Kidding, kidding.
Classic American man sent $10. Y'all niggas better be fasting.
Thank you for the reminder.
Paul Wapgroiper sent $20. Yeah, something a little gefilte fishy about Alex getting up right in the middle of you talking, more than once. Hard for him to just admit that he agrees with you. On everything.
I don't know that he does, though.
Buff Incel sent $10. You are awesome on InfoWars.
Thank you.
07.
Thanks.
Young Lung 420 sent $100. Keep up the good work, Nick. Sorry I haven't super chatted in a while.
That's okay. I forgive you. Thank you for the big... I forgive you. Thank you very much for the big super chat, buddy. I was wondering. I was like, why isn't Young Lung super chatted? I've been literally counting the days, but you made it up today, so...
Young Lung 420 sent $100. What are you going to do today?
Don't worry about it. I don't know. I kind of want to watch Moana. I keep seeing the Moana song on TikTok, and I tried to watch it last night, but my credit card expired, so I got a new one. Now I got to update my payment information on Google Play so I could watch that. I want to watch Moana and Luca. I think I'm going to watch that today. I was going to watch it last night, like I said, I was already on the couch and my credit card didn't go through because it expired. So I just put heat on and I fell asleep. So that wasn't last night. That was yesterday morning. So maybe I'll do that. I don't know, though. I haven't decided what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll clean up my office, file my mail away. Not sure. Anyway, thanks for the big super chats. I appreciate it. Thank you, Young Lung, for the big super chats. I appreciate it. I just love that song from Moana. That song from Moana is so fire when they're talking about the coconut. I keep seeing it on TikTok, and it's so good. So I've been dying to watch it. So I think I'll watch that. Maybe, maybe not. Anyway, yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll make a grilled cheese. I saw on TikTok, I saw a cooking show where this woman made this really fire grilled cheese. I've had a taste for it all day and all night. She made this grilled cheese on ciabatta and she put a ton of butter on it. And then she made her own ranch. No, I'm sorry. I'm mixing it up. That was a chicken Caesar salad sandwich. She made a grilled cheese with like shredded Parmesan. And then she used a special cheese that she shredded up and put on there. And she baked bacon in the oven and diced that, put it on. And it looked crazy. Man, I want a taste. I want a piece of that. So I think I'm going to make myself some mac and cheese or grilled cheese. Something really cheesy. So I think I'm going to make myself something really cheesy and then watch Moana. That's my one meal. When you're fasting, you get one meal. That's going to be my meal, okay? Before everybody jumps down my throat and gets mad at me. Oh, you got to be fasting. You can have one meal. The Pope told us, you can have one meal during the day. And two smaller meals that together combined would not equal one meal. I know the rules. Shut the fuck up. Don't police me. I'm playing by the rules, okay? So, I think I'm going to eat that and watch a little TV. Okay? Everybody's always like, you know, why don't you mind your business, okay? What are you doing today? I'm going to eat a grilled cheese, but I eat it fast. Well, we get a meal, okay? So maybe you just mind your own business, okay?
Pete sent $50. You did great. He couldn't help himself from getting in his own way by constantly interrupting you, much like a fat kid rushing to the front of the line of an all-you-can-eat buffet. If he was as smart and honest as he thinks he is, he'd be embarrassed about his own behavior.
Oh, come on.
Your
be
patience
nice.
Is commendable.
Be nice.
07.
I like Alex. I like Alex. He's hospitable. He ordered us lunch. He gave me a hug. He's a nice guy. I think he just, you know, he disagrees with us.
Virginian sent $3. Yo, 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 two shows in one day, let's go. Remember to pray and fast today for peace in the Holy Land, everyone.
Thanks. Thank you for the reminder. 07 Nick. Thanks for the reminder.
Reagan Williams sent $25 for that dog in you.
Thank you.
Luke Moore sent $5. Decent debate with Alex Jones. He's killing me with the commercials, and I know he's half joking, but he should backtrack on calling you baby Hitler. He sounds like Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit on the line there.
Gail Bra sent $10. Hezbollah, according to Western sources, is said to have a very sophisticated intelligence service and are a very well-armed and well-coordinated army. Could it be that this is exaggerated to justify harsher responses?
No, they are sophisticated. They have these really serious tunnels, and these are serious people.
Luke Moore sent $5. Decent debate with AJ. InfoWars can't sustain my viewership with their commercials, and I know Alex is half joking, but he should backtrack on calling you
duplicate.
Millennial underscore Growiper sent $20. That suit and tie is a great look. Thanks for all the content yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah, 6 hours of content yesterday, by the way.
Caesar says sent $3. Have you ever been to the McDonald's with the global menu downtown Chicago?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't made it out there yet. It's in, where is that by? It's in like Fulton Market, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I don't go downtown anymore because it's too much crime.
Hicks sent $3. Scott Greer tweeting about Magic Americans. Bruh, come on, are we still doing this?
Yeah, it's getting a little old. He's lovable though, but it's a little old. A little stale.
Isaac Ritchie sent $10. For everyone who doesn't know, Alex Jones lost his Achilles because he tried to walk and chew gum at the same time. Morally speaking, let's all work together to get him a new one so he doesn't have to buy them in bulk from the Shecoms.
Yeah, we gotta work to support some therapy that doesn't involve Falun Gong organ harvesting, human edible hybrids, New World Order. Yeah, I don't know, man. Okay, can you stop sending me super chats? I'm really hungry. They just keep coming. There's like fucking 100 of them. There's another one. Please stop. Please have mercy on me. I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten since yesterday. I haven't eaten since I had Thai food at like 4 o'clock p.m. yesterday. I'm so hungry. So please just stop. Normally, I'd appreciate it, but
Gail Bra sent $3.
Really,
is stirring up Sunni Shiite hatred a good deterrent tactic for the U.S. in regards to conflict with the Muslim world? Or is it very risky to push them too far?
Is that happening? I'm not aware of that happening. No, that has nothing to do with deterrence.
Malabar Growiper sent $10. Rumble replay gang here. Love the show is early enough to listen to live. God bless.
God bless, buddy.
YE24 sent $10. It's crazy how powerful you have become. People talk about a unipolar world. At this point, you are a unipolar force on the dissident right. You are undeniable. Great job on InfoWars. Love you, big guy.
Love you too, buddy. It's true. I'm like the superpower of the dissident right. It's just me. Who else even is a dissident anymore?
Ironman underscore 45 sent $3. Great show, Nick. Loving the more the geopolitically focused shows.
Thanks. I'm glad.
Boss Lurker sent $5. Can you send yourself a super chat with the new system?
Yeah.
Stunky One sent $5. Good morning, Nick. I love you. Great show, boss baby.
Thank you.
Spence sent $4. Good morning, Growiper is back on a Friday morning.
Let's go.
Cameron sent $50. Last year, my father, a lapsed Catholic, told me that he doesn't think he can follow Christ. This year, he now is carrying his old rosary every day, and this morning spoke to one of my priests about coming back to the faith. Thank you for bringing me back to his faith, and I pray and hope to bring him back home. God bless you.
Hey, glad to hear it, man. God bless you. Love to hear that story. Same thing with my grandma. My grandma, right before she died, she got back into the faith, so I love to hear that.
Richard Percival sent $5. If you were in charge of Iran, would you push for war, knowing that America can't win in the long run?
No, because, you know, there's a chance that America's stupid enough to do it and they would do a lot of damage to Iran. So, no, I wouldn't.
Gail Bra sent $10, just in case you shouted at me for $3.
Why would I do that? Do I ever do that?
Jorge Floyd sent $3. Let's get to $1,000 worth of super chats this show. Thanks for the early show, Growiper. New system is so cool.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, it's pretty sweet, right? We got the best developers ever.
PolyExit sent $10.
No message, thank you.
Michael sent $5. I am currently from the Church of Chris, but went to a Catholic church recently. I felt like a fish out of water, but loved the Mass. Any advice on what I can do to prepare for my next visit?
Well, there's some good videos on YouTube that explain the Mass. I think it's helpful to understand what's actually going on, like to understand the structure of the Mass and, you know, the meaning behind all of it, the symbolism, because the whole Mass is rich with symbolism. And it's all out of the gospel. That's what's beautiful about the Mass, is that everything that you see, down to the smallest details, is it's an analogy, almost, of what's in the gospel. And everything that was in the old religion of the Jews sort of has its analog in the Catholic Mass, which is a beautiful thing. So once you really understand the structure of it and what's going on, and again, all the rich symbolism, I think it you really gain a new appreciation for it. So, but yeah, I mean, just keep going, praying, maybe get in touch with the parish. And if you're thinking about converting, join up with RCIA. But yeah, I would read. There's some good resources out there that explains what the Mass is all about. I think that's the best thing. But good for you. I'm glad to hear that.
God of Conquest 91 sent $10. God bless Nick. Your appearance on Alex Jones was awesome.
Thank you.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. Enemies of Christ will need extra brain force after we bash their brains in with the Bible.
True. Good point.
Loafer sent $50. Good morning, Growiper.
Good morning. Thanks for the super chat.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. How much of an issue is low military recruitment for the U.S. and the West at large?
It's a pretty big deal. You know, we need military.
Boogly Woogly sent $7. What is to be done about the evangelicals? Their support of Israel is supposedly religious. The new speaker is one of them.
What the fuck kind of question? Shut the fuck up. Dude, fucking always. This guy every time. What does that even mean? What is to be done about them? Dude, they believe that God told them to vote for Israel. Like, what do you mean what is to be done? That there's nothing that can be done. What? Shut the fuck up. Always with the stupidest questions.
Donald E. Rump sent $20. From how quick Alex switched from hating you to being nice, it seems like he's trying to get credibility back in order to subvert us again in the future.
Dude,
might be wrong.
Shut up.
Probably wrong, lol.
He doesn't hate me. He's just, he gets hot on his show, but he's a nice person, so he can't. He's like me, and I'm the same way. I get very heated when I talk on my show, but I'm a very nice person, so.
Oh, maybe he's just like trying to subvert us.
Shut up, dude, just shut up.
Ramon sent $20. I was expecting a Robert Barnes-style debate, but like the last couple of debates with AJ, it turned into an interview. Lol, also Rumble killed a lot of the momentum.
It was actually InfoWars. InfoWars restarted their stream like 3 times, so it wasn't even Rumble, it was them.
Chief Trumpster Stan sent $5. The Jews are seriously attempting to start World War III. I saw a bunch of rabbi videos where they were basically talking about how the West...
Yeah, I know, that's what the show's about.
Andrew sent $10. You're right about kneeling when you purpose. My dad didn't, always respected him for that.
Based.
Chief Trumpster Stan sent $5. Times. I thought at first it was just a...
Yeah, no shit, dude.
Farid Lukovic sent $20.
Oh,
you're a boss, this one is
over?
For us.
I'm
Thanks
so
for thinking
hungry.
Of the little guys, Nick.
Yeah.
Less than three, baby boy.
Thank you.
Sent $3, sent $10. Rape.
Thanks.
Mike Kapil sent $10. Sleepy
just,
ass nigga.
I'm hungry, dude. I'm hungry.
Evariste Galois sent $3. Guy reads 200 books on Hitler and they were all written by Jews. Impressive.
Did he say that? Dude, my hair's fucked up too. Just end the show already. I'm over it.
Sandro Iper sent $50. When Alex started citing over 200 books about Hitler
really?
Hating Christians, it was like he came at you with the entire Death Star and you cut straight through it with a single shot to the critical point.
That's crazy. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, it's just true. You know, all these people, they want to come in with like the, here's the based reason why I hate Hitler. It's like, yeah, but that's not why everyone hates Hitler. Everyone hates Hitler because they think he killed 6 million Jews. Thanks for not even asking me if I did. That's an Inception reference. That's an Inception. Because they think I killed my wife. Thanks for not asking me if I did. They think he killed. I can't come back to Germany because they think I killed 6 million Jews. Thanks for not asking if I actually did. Oh, man. Yeah, but I was prepared for that because I kept thinking about that line of reasoning. And I thought of that on the plane ride over. I'm like, I'm going to say, but that's not why everyone else hates him. And I totally fucking won. Instantly, instant kill shot. Boom. Boom roasted. I can't go back to Germany because they think I killed 6 million Jews. Thanks for not asking if I actually did. And then Hitler goes into the dream elevator. There's one thing you need to know about me, about the Holocaust. Anti-Semitism. What's the most contagious virus? An idea. Anti-Semitism. It comes to define a person. Anyway, if you're an Inception fan, you're loving. If you're an anti-Semitic Inception fan, you are loving this. You are loving this riff right now. But if you've never seen the movie, you know, you're just never going to get it. He takes her to Auschwitz-Birkenau. That's at the bottom of the elevator. There's one thing you need to understand about me, about the Holocaust. Anti-Semitism is like a virus. Anyway, and then she jumps back in the, no, Auschwitz would be the hotel room. Anyway. Whatever. That's fun though.
Pietro Capella sent $3.01. Good morning,
please.
Groiper. This Israel thing reminds me of when you blew Arthur Boomer out of the water.
Great. I'm glad that reminded you of that other thing.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. Nick, did you tell the police where they can find Stephen the Swastika Benel mass shooter at large?
Hilarious.
Fish Odo sent $3. Travel to Austin and back for InfoWars. Get a morning show and now a night show too. 07, God bless you.
Yeah. Are you lucky?
Farid Lukovic sent $20. Hitler lives rent-free in Alex Jones' mind. He just can't have a conversation outside of the Hitler is the axis of evil paradigm. Almost like a prisoner of his own mind. Kind of sad, to be honest.
He needs to forgive Hitler. What we learned, though, is that his dad is friends with all Jews and his grandpa was a fat. Like, so that's kind of revelatory. All these stories, when he's like, here's why I hate Hitler. My dad's friends were all rabbis and my grandpa was in the CIA. It's like, oh, yeah, that actually clarified a lot. You know, I'm like, gee, you know, I don't hate Hitler that much. Really, I do. Why? All my dad's friends were Jewish rabbis, and his dad was in the CIA. Oh, okay. Well, it's not an argument, but I think I understand now. So.
Mark Hemp sent $3. NJF4L, however, the only thing we disagree on is your opinion on Whopper. It's the best burger.
No, dude.
Give it another chance, Plaza. No.
Burger King is woke, dude. Burger King has gone full Bud Light. Fuck Burger King. They were the first to do Impossible Meat. They do a feminist promotion. They're all about green energy. Fuck Burger King. Hate Burger. They're all about BLM.
Treehead sent $10.
Full
love,
Bud
love.
Light. Hey, love you too, buddy. McDonald's.
Ngloy percent $10.
McDonald's supports Hezbollah. Okay, McDonald's. McDonald's is providing quarter pounders with cheese to Hezbollah and Hamas, okay?
Njgloy percent $10. Morning, boss. Here's your coffee.
Thank you. I wish.
Daniel Atomic Apple McQuaid sent $25. Greetings from Canada. Love your show.
Thank you.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $3. Think 1,000 times before making a decision, but after making that decision never turn back even if you face 1,000 difficulties. NJF. Have a good day, man, praying for you.
That's so true. That's such a good quote and good point.
Chugger sent $5. Hey, like the show. Just wanted to super chat so I could plug your new Grow Hyperforce supplement. Whenever I'm feeling blackpilled, I take the supplement and I feel start feeling based. Y'all need to buy.
Thanks for doing a plug. Yeah, thanks for doing a plug, man. Hey, thanks for doing a plug. I can't do it without you. You know, I mean, we really need your support. I mean, we're patriots. We're on the edge here.
Quack sent $3. Quack.
You gotta buy those products, man.
Groip Soldier sent $20. I am not a pay pig for Israel. I am a pay pig for Nick Fuentes.
No, you're a valued customer. And here's your pills. Here's your supplements. Here's
Chief
your
Trumpster Stan sent $5. The best battle is one you don't have to fight at all. Alex surrendered the argument at the beginning of the debate and basically admitted you were right, but for some reason can't disavow Mort Klein.
That was kind of a dick move on my part because that probably got him in trouble. Because I'm like, really? Will you disavow Mort Klein and the Zionist Organization of America? And he's like, I'll talk about something else. Like, so I feel kind of guilty for saying that, but it's like, he's going to do this thing where he says, well, the ADL doesn't give a shit about you. They only fight me. Really? Because the ZOA fights me. How do you feel about them? That wasn't nice, but.
Simon Skula sent $3. Thanks for bringing back Good Morning Grow Hyper Hee Hee.
Thanks. Love you, buddy.
Biker Bandito sent $50. Good Bulgarian evening. Thank you for naming the Jews, women, and poor people.
You're welcome.
You are one of the few who does all three.
I know. No one else will do it. I'm the only fearless person. Because look, you attack any of those groups, people get mad. You attack Jews, people get mad. You say, I hate poor people. Everyone says, yeah, what kind of movement is this? You hate poor people, but I'm poor. I'm a poor retard. And you gotta, what are you? You sound like a Jew right now. It's like, not Jewish. Just hate poor people. Take a shower. You know, on the women thing, no, you hate women? What are you, gay? I think women are so gorgeous, I want to die. I think women are so beautiful, I want to die. Oh, who's stopping you? Go kill yourself then if you think they're so fucking great.
Fuck 20.
So I really am fearless because you have no idea the blowback I get for these subjects. But I stand tall. I stand tall. Everyone knows where I stand on Jews, poor people, women. Everyone knows where I am. I stand there. You know where to fucking find me. Hating poor people, hating women, loving everyone, and loving the Jews, and loving everyone all the time. So, yeah, everybody's always like, I'm not PC. Really? Criticize poor people. Go ahead, try it. Criticize Southerners. Tell them that if they think Lincoln was so gay, then why did their ancestors lose to a gay guy? Tell them that. See how that goes for you. Everybody has the one group they can't offend. Their girlfriend, their hillbilly supporters, their Jewish financiers. Me? I don't like anyone, okay? I only like me. I only like me. That's it. End of list. So that's the only person I'm not going to offend. Everybody else, including women and the poor, you know what? Women and poor people don't pay my bills and they don't like me. So fuck them. That's what I say. You know, they can cry about the lost cause of the Confederacy all they want. We won. And you can take your banjo and your trailer park and you can go and drive that off a cliff because women are so beautiful, it makes you want to die, you know, and have a good time. No, I'm kidding. I love everyone. Just kidding. That's all a joke because I love everyone. That's all a joke because I love everyone. I love poor people and women and Jews. And I love everybody. I love the whole group, all people on earth. And I don't want them to die. Because I love everybody. You know? There's just some things I don't like. Like I don't like how women are fucking annoying. And I don't like how poor people dress like slobs sometimes, you know? But I still love them. Still love them as human beings.
Park Ridge Grow Hyper sent $3. Happy Friday, King.
Hey, happy Friday, love Park Ridge.
Computer Reds. Zoomer sent $8. Busty Italian brunette fucks political movement.
I don't get it. Oh, because I'm the political movement. Imagine.
Max Pacheco sent $3. Love you, brother Nick. Always great when you go on InfoWars. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day yourself. Love you.
Boogly Woogly sent $5. 10 weeks into the 1982 Lebanese conflict, Reagan called the Israeli PM and told him to stop the bombing. He actually did. I didn't know I could do that, remarked Reagan. All it takes is to just do it.
Well, not so fast. George Bush told them to pull out of the West Bank, and they said no. Trump told them to stop the settlements, and Netanyahu said no. So, not always.
Drugsle sent $5. Go get that grilled cheese. Hope it's yummy.
Thank you, but you are preventing me from doing that by super chatting. But thank you. I appreciate it.
Eurogrowiper sent $5. Asian wife and we just put IVF baby from white egg donor. Life hack of demonic?
Sounds a little demonic. It's going to come out like Splice. If I have a... If it's a second-gen IVF baby, it's going to come out with like a devil tail and horns. If it's two or three generations of IVF, the midichlorian, like demon midichlorian count is going to be 666, and he's going to come out like The Exorcist, like Rosemary's Baby. It's not going to be pretty, so can't be doing that. Can't be doing that. If I'm a test tube baby, it's got to be all natural. It's got to be totally legit. Because one more test tube generation and this thing is going to pop out and be... He is going to be a lot of trouble. So, no way.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $3. I'm eating cheese pizza with extra cheese right now. So yummy. I'm shoveling it in my mouth. BTW nom 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 nom.
Funny. Funny.
Horatio McGillicuddy sent $3. Great show, Nick. True. Fuck all the haters complaining about the late start.
You're right.
Love you, King. God bless you and your family.
I agree. Fuck everyone that was complaining.
Morn sent $10. Can't wait till I run into you at Texas Roadhouse one day. Love you, sir.
Never
God bless.
Happen. Never gonna happen. You're never gonna find me there. If you're trying to hide from me, you should hide there, Applebee's. Actually, you know, they're actually not terrible. That's one of the chains I would go to. I know it's gay. Look, I know it's really gay, but the bread. I know that's like a woman thing, like, the biscuits from Texas Roadhouse. I'll have the biscuits from Texas Roadhouse, and I'll have the, you know, but they're good. They are good, though. When I was in high school, I went there with my friend who is an Indian. We used to work out together. And he was like, I don't know what he was going through, but he was like, I'm going to have my first steak. Because he was like Hindu. He'd never had beef before. He's Indian. And we, you know, we worked out. We used to go to the gym. And he was like, I'm going to have my first steak tonight. So he went to Texas Roadhouse and got steak. I think that was the first and only time. Actually, I went there for another friend of mine's birthday. But it was one of the only times I've ever been there, and I was like, damn, this is actually fire. The steak was mediocre, but the bread was good.
Christo underscore fascist sent $3. Is the old money aesthetic trend people having nostalgia from when whites were the elites? Before Jews were in control of elite culture.
I don't think it's that deep, honestly.
Lazy Growiper sent $3.
Is the old money trend because people are nostalgic before Jews controlled? Like, dude, just, you know, watch your TikToks and shut up.
Sent $3, sent $3, sent $3, sent $3, sent
$3. Okay, funny.
Walk and Chew sent $3. Italian cultural sewer? More like Jewish sewer. Just kidding. They do run all the porno.
That was funny. Somebody clipped that. That was a good part. They do run all the porn, though. That was funny. Whose show was that on? Because I said Jewish sewer, and he got mad. He was kind of like, oh. I was like, oh, just kidding. Never mind. But then I didn't want to totally back off, so I was like, yeah, well, but they do run porn. That was funny.
Donald E. Rump sent $10. Me so we.
Okay, yeah, right.
Donald E. Rump sent $10. Me love you long time.
Thank you. Funny. Chris- okay, duplicate.
Piss sent $3. Wow, best Saturday ever. Here's $3. That's 2 months' rent in my country. Great show. We love you, big guy.
Hey, thank you.
Ever East Galwa sent $3. I never see you talk about Rome very much. Do you have a favorite emperor? Mine's Aurelian.
My favorite Roman emperor is Marcus Aurelius.
No, I don't have a favorite Roman emperor. Hitler. Does Hitler count?
Reese sent $3. W. Nick. 100% width ratio.
Thank you.
Swashbucky sent $5. Hi, Nick.
Hungry.
Perfect timing for us Euros for a cozy evening show. Love your shows. You are so awesome.
Thank you.
Greeting from Hungary less than three.
Hey, what's up? Thank you.
Christo underscore fascist sent $3. RIP Portillo's. That place was the best.
Cheap attempt at relatability. Just shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Aquarium Grow Iper sent $10. Hey, GM smile.
Hey, good morning.
Ramon sent $3. Did you know McDonald's made the Filet-O-Fish because of the Catholic fast of no meat of Fridays?
Wow. It's great lore. Yeah, well, I mean, in Catholic cities, they do other options. Like in Chicago, we have a pepper and egg sandwich is really big here around Lent. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Fish fry and all that. It's good stuff.
Groip TF sent $10. Good Thursday night. Keep on fighting, Nick. Once we get Trump back in the White House, it's over for them.
Bro.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Groip Polak sent $3. Great show on Alex Jones. Think it would ever be possible to be a co-guest on Rogan with him?
No shot. No chance. Okay. Look, I gotta eat. I'm so hungry. I'm angry because of it. I just gotta go. All right. That's our last super chat. That's going to do it for me today. As always, thanks for watching. Remember to follow me here on Cozy and Rumble. Links are down below. I'm on the air Monday through Friday at night, usually. As always, thanks to our super chatters. In particular, special thanks to Young Lung, Nick Love, and LaCroyper. Special thanks to them. Thanks to all our super chatters, everybody that watches the show. We love you, and I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. It's going to be only America first. America first. The American people will come first once again.